Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So, we're continuing our series on the cross, but it's also a baptism service today. And we're always excited about that. It's our second one today. We had one this morning. We dunked four people, and it's a great celebration. We'll be talking about it, explaining a little bit about what it means. We have on our crosslands.live site, there's message notes. Where do we go from here questions? How do I apply the content for today into my life? Which some people do as a small group or as family or as an individual. You know, how do I apply this on a Monday to Saturday? And I would welcome you to check that out. And we also have, you can also respond with a text message. My number's on the screen. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message today, we welcome those. We probably won't be doing those publicly in the service today just because we won't have time because of the baptisms. So, yeah, we're going to have a bit of a party today. So, I want to start by telling you a little bit about myself. I don't talk about myself that much, but something happened to me. I had a life-changing event, okay? I was 10 years old. It was 1980. That gives you a clue about exactly how old I am. I'm almost at the halfway point. But in 1980, I had this life-changing event when I was invited with both of my brothers and a friend. We went to the movies and we saw The Empire Strikes Back. Changed my life. It blew me away. Yeah, I can see you guys care greatly. But something, there was a follow-up event to that. About a year later, on television, it was a half-hour or one-hour documentary called The Empire Strikes Back, SPFX, and they went into all how they did all the special effects for the movie, and I was so captured by that. That's what I want to do. For my life, I would love to do that. I want to make movies. And so that was my goal. That was my direction. And I set myself in that direction. I went through high school and applied to university. I applied to three film programs at different universities. I was accepted into all three, but two of them were like film studies, like critiquing movies, which I don't really care about. Not to study anyway, I'll do that on my own time. But one of the programs had a practical course where you could learn how to do this and start doing this. And I was so excited, and it was 1988. I started at York University. And it was a year and a half later that everything came crumbling down. It just wasn't working. I was depressed, and the future seemed to be evaporating. And it was kind of like, I kind of experienced a bit of death. Like the dream died, I dropped out, and a part of me died with that. I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of thing. When babies are born, death starts to happen, which seems odd because you think it's new life. How does death start to happen? We actually reach our physical peak, if you're male, roughly around the age of 21, 22, if you're female, a little bit earlier than that. But death starts to happen right away. And so what happens in a baby's brain, it's packed full of neurons. And as they grow and learn and interact with the environment, pathways are created through those neurons. So in response to stimulus and in the learning experience, there are all these connections made, and hopefully they're good ones. You know, I find out about the world, I find out about who my mother is, and you learn stuff, but every time a connection is made, other connections die. Somebody once described it as, we die into ourselves, as you become who you are, physically in the brain. And then life goes on from there. You become who you are, you grow and you learn, and every time you grow in a certain direction, there's a no to another direction. At some point, maybe you're in school and your eye catches that special person. You know what I mean? You're always kind of aware where they are, and you think like this is it. That's her. And then you find out that they don't feel the same way at all, right? They don't care about you at all, and a little bit of you dies. It's like, oh, that's just, it's crushing. Or maybe, like me, you make a career choice. And it doesn't pan out, and a little bit of you dies. Or you're going for a promotion at work, right? And they give it to somebody else, and it's crushing. And we go through these little deaths all the time. Maybe you wake up in the morning and you think, it's going to be a beautiful spring day. And a little bit of you dies on the inside. I saw one poor sucker this morning shoveling his driveway. I'm going, why? I'm going to take care of something for you this week. No more snow by Thursday, okay? I'll take care of that. What happens in life is as we aim in life, as we point in a certain direction, we experience all kinds of little deaths. But if you're making the ultimate aim, if you're aiming for the highest, to actually get there, you need to experience the ultimate death, and that's the death to self. Because there's a selfishness inherent in each one of us that prevents us from aiming at the highest. When I got married, 1994, better get the date right, one of the vows was forsaking all others. I died to everybody else so I could choose this one. And baptism is, what we're doing here today is kind of that. It's understanding that our ultimate being, our ultimate connection, our ultimate identity is found in Jesus the Messiah. And so we die to ourself so we can experience his life. So the way that's demonstrated physically, and the model is found in the Bible, is that people, they go into the water, and the understanding is you go down to die to yourself and you come up to new life. The word baptism actually means immersion, immerse. And I've used the illustration before. There's a lot of people that would baptize their donuts in their coffee or baptize their Oreo in milk. That's what the word literally means. It means immerse. And so the practice in it that comes from the ancient Jewish culture is to immerse in water as a sign of immersion. The immersion in water is a sign of immersion. The early Christians, the early church would immerse in water as a sign of being immersed into Jesus and immersed into his family. That's what it's a sign of, a sign of immersion. You know somebody, you know when somebody's really into something? We use that expression, they're really into something. In February, we were on vacation in Florida. We were staying with my in-laws. And my mother-in-law is on a low-carb diet. Not a no-carb diet, a low-carb diet. I know this because she told me every day, every meal. Since before Christmas, my mother-in-law has been on a low-carb diet, and every meal you hear about what's the appropriate amount of carbs and what's not and how this is working out for her, because she's really into that. That's what she's into. You ever know somebody that's into Fortnite? There's a few people over here that know what that is, and everybody else goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. Doesn't that mean 2 weeks? If you think that, then you're really old, okay? Fortnite is a video game, and people really get into it. It's very attractive. It's very addictive. But if somebody's really into it, there's posters on their bedroom wall, Fortnite posters, and they learn the dance. They're really into it. Baptism, going into the water, is a symbol of being completely into Jesus, immersed into Jesus, and immersed into his family. That's what it is. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Romans in the Bible. It's actually a letter. It's one of the more complex books in the Bible. It was written by one of the earlier followers of Jesus named Paul, and he was a brilliant mind, and he put together a lot of how we understand what's going on. And he talks specifically about baptism in Romans 6. He says, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus, that means the Messiah, Jesus, in baptism, we joined him in his death. He's saying baptism is a sign of being joined with Jesus in his death. For we died and we're buried with Christ by baptism, by immersion. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so now we also may live new lives. So baptism, the symbol of experiencing or identifying yourself with that complete death to self and coming up to a new life. And then verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. So there's three parts here. There's a look to the past, there's a present experience, and there's a future hope. So the look to the past goes all the way back to a very ancient symbol, and it was an identifying symbol for God's people, the nation of Israel. And that primary identifying symbol was God's rescue of his people from slavery in Egypt. And so there's a showdown between God's representative Moses and the head of this world power, the Egyptian nation, Pharaoh, and all of his pantheon of gods. And God wins and rescues his people. And the dramatic event that happens is he rescues them through the Red Sea. The original language says Reed Sea. We're not exactly sure where that is. So that they can be rescued from slavery and worship God in the wilderness where he would come live among them. That's what Moses says when he talks to Pharaoh. let God's people go so they may worship him in the wilderness. And so they're dramatically rescued through the water. And in ancient cultures, most ancient cultures, water represents chaos and death. So there's this idea of passing through chaos, passing through death, hand in hand with God the deliverer, so that he can bring you to the place where he lives among you. And then that was dramatically recreated again a generation later as they're at the entrance to the promised land. And the entrance, the boundary marker was a river, the Jordan River. And they're at that entrance and they go through the river into God's promised land. It was a defining moment for the nation. So centuries later, when John the Baptizer is walking around, the predecessor, the precursor to Jesus, the announcer of Jesus, he's baptizing people where? At the Jordan River, because that's the entry point to the promised land. But then he's not talking about a physical location. He's saying entrance into God's family is through this idea of being washed of your past and coming into a whole new identity. I did the message this morning and somebody texted me afterwards. I don't want to get it wrong. And I believe it's somebody that's actually gone through this experience. They said, just remember there's a relation between getting baptized and granting refugee status in Canada. They're understanding that we have been given a new land, accepted into a new place to live where there's freedom. That's a great perspective. That's not one I would get. You know, my parents were off the boat, but I grew up here my whole life. Sometimes you can take that for granted. And they said, that's what baptism is like, living a whole new life because we've been rescued from the old. That's a powerful, powerful thought. So by Jesus' time, there's an understanding that baptism, it was a practice that was done to recognize your identity or your welcome into a new community, a new identity into a new community. Some of the different religious sects would practice baptism. If there was somebody that wanted to convert to Judaism at that time, they would go through a baptism process. Say, the old is gone and you're now living a whole new life. And in our present condition, so what we do here in the 21st century, what's going to happen today is people are demonstrating that immersion in water to identify with new life, new family, new identity, the old is gone, identifying with Jesus' death and identifying with his resurrection. And that's where the new hope comes in, because the resurrection life begins now, but ultimately in the future, what we look forward to, it will be made complete, it will be made permanent, where death no longer has a hold over us. So baptism is the celebration of new life. That's what it is. It's a identification with what has happened, and it's an expectation of what will happen in the future. So here, as you see, we have a hot tub here. I'd like to think that's more for my benefit than everybody else, because it's nice and warm. If we want to do it in cold water, I'd be outside the tub, right? So we'll actually have four candidates come in the tub, and some of them will speak a little bit about their own experience, and some people don't want to talk, and we actually dunk them full in the water. But also, we also have an extra treat today. See, last summer, we had a small group that baptized two of its small group members, which I think is a great expression of the family of followers of Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, he basically instituted two permanent practices that have carried on through the centuries. And those two things were communion, an identifying meal together, and baptism. And there's such great opportunity to do that in small groups, do communion in a small group. And we had, again, as I said, one small group did a couple of baptisms in someone's pool. We got on video. We'll show that this morning. And when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice that was heard. And if you ever see or witness a bar mitzvah in Israel today, people that are practicing Judaism at a very high level, ultra-Orthodox or Orthodox, they will, at a certain point, as they enact the rite of passage by which a 12-year-old boy becomes a man, bar mitzvah, that's what it is. And I believe that the term means son of blessing. And at a certain point in the ceremony, the father says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And when Jesus went to his baptism, there was a voice heard from heaven where God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And one of the versions of the story says that people heard the noise, but they didn't recognize the voice. It sounded like thunder. And in one of the videos, You might think you hear something like that, but it's actually just a train going by. I think that's all I heard. Maybe there's a voice in there too. But we put subtitles on so that you can actually hear or read what's going on because the audio was kind of hard. So we're going to do that just in a few minutes. What time is it? Okay, I don't want to run over time. Now, we all go through those little deaths through our life. In fact, even after baptism, we're still in this process of becoming more and more Christ-like. But maybe you're here and you're going, I've never understood it that way. I've never understood that's what this whole thing was about. I thought it was a whole bunch of rules. I thought it was about like conformity and all that other stuff. And it's not. And maybe you're here and you say like, that's what I want. I want that real, that ultimate life. Because our ultimate enemy is death. Total death. Ultimate death. And the only solution to that is the ultimate life that Jesus himself brings. That's the whole story of the death, his death on the cross, and rising to new life. And so if you're here today and you want to become a follower of Jesus, if you want to access that new life, we make this offer every week. It's as simple as ABC. A stands for admit. I admit that I'm not living that fullest life. I need God. What I'm doing now is not good enough. B stands for believe. Believe, trust that God has a life for you that is far beyond your imagination. And C is commit. It's like, as baptism represents, you can't live your old life and your new life at the same time. So commit to give yourself completely to him and start that journey. And so if that's something that you're here and you want to do that today, the easiest way to do that, and you can come talk to me afterwards, the easiest way, we'd love to connect with you, go onto the crossings.live site, and there's a box, I want to follow Jesus. Click that box. There's even a box that says, I want to learn more about it, because it's a serious, it's a big decision, right? Not something that I would want you to make lightly. But if you do that, then we'll be able to get a hold of you and start you on this new spiritual journey. So I would encourage you to do that. If you don't have a smart device, so you can't get on that website, and by the time you get home, you forget what it is. We have the real, not virtual version of that at the back in paper on those connection cards. There, same thing. Just fill out the information, put it in one of the giving boxes so that we can help you on that whole new journey. Last thing I want to say, actually I'll call the worship team up. I want to reiterate what Pastor Claudette said this morning, is we have a parallel study, like a take-home, that we want to encourage people give access to people to do. And it's something you would do as a small group or like of people, if you get together with friends or family or something like that. It works really well with about 8 to 10 people. And it's an online video study. So we can give access to that. It's not going to be the same things that I'm saying in the weekly messages, but it's parallel to that. So if you want to go deeper with that, I would encourage you to look into that. Claudette will be at a table in the lobby after the service, so you can find out more information. You can sign up. There is a leader's guide. Like we want to make this as easy as possible. So you're not like teaching anything, because that's the stuff on video, and then there's stuff that you can go through, and it's a great opportunity to grow together, learn how to pray together, share life together. That's how we grow. So if you're interested in that, talk to Claudette. And I don't want to get my clothes wet, so I'm going to go change into something that is wettable, and I'm going to hand it over to Jenny.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.